Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issues of Today.
Coming to you live, here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Issues of Today Talk Radio. It's your host, Taj Longino, the new voice of the people, coming to you live from Indianapolis, Indiana, on this Friday afternoon. I hope everybody's day is going pretty good for them. In a few minutes, we're getting ready to have this interview with Brother Marcus. He's also a Blog Talk host on Blog Talk Radio, and he's going to be talking with us about his new book, The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. Okay? So stay tuned for that in a few minutes. Right now, everybody get into the song of the day with 8-Ball MJG, Friend of Foe, and you're listening to Issues of Today Talk Radio.
Anyway, it doesn't matter much how you feel. You know what you gotta do. I'm here to do it. How about you?
I 5 years up. We was young bucks scrubbing each other's back in the bathtub. Baby said to send you to bed, but she'll make me stay up so she can give a young player some vicious head. Early symptoms up. Behind my name, gigantic factor from the cockiness bridge stage. Some had it all done, but less unfortunate. You had an alloy spoke mongoose and I had a hussy. You owned a green machine. Three different lunch pails. I had a go-kart that I built from a bunch of you. Nails. We grew up in the church together, nigga, Sunday school. Now I heard that you off into Jack and nigga, that ain't even cool. I used to be Conrad and fucked around and went back. Walking up on the wrong tree, talking about running up in my
niggas
face.
Have hateful thoughts, but they can't stop me from scribing. Suckers be shaking fuck. All in this game for the fine. Some fools be getting cross. Victims of bossiness. Man, all that drama you come with, I swear, all some shit. Whether it's morphine or cocaine, doja or dog food. That had these marks betraying Max, fucking off my high-breaking rules. You got your peas mixed up. You ain't no pimp, you's a phony. I spit for major mints. While you make case for your homies, and then you work up the nerve to speak foul words. The pimp betrayed me, instigated. This is why I wrote this verse. For every youngster with his mind on his meal, young player just chill and take a look at what these fakers call real.
I trust no man, cause man will let you down every time. That's why I take it upon myself to thank God in every rhyme. Cause I seen better times and I seen worse days, when some of my so-called friends wasn't around, when I ain't have a verse to say. I quench my thirst today with righteous thoughts of mine, cause righteous thoughts of mine and leave monk ass niggas far behind. I've seen it every time they come and go. That's why I drop to my knees and ask God to distinguish friend from foe. And what do you know, by the time morning comes I can see the light. And then I'm thanking God once again for making everything alright. He made it tight and now I'm back up on the scene, counting green straight from H-Town to New Orleans. New human beings putting it down like a mic and not replace the slot, open up shop, we're about to make it hot. Stop with your devilish doings, because your devilish doings will only bring forth your ruin.
Nigga, to watch your back and trust you. Cause ain't no nigga gonna watch your back for you like you. When someone is broken down and out without no clout, it's rough. At least you know who you can and who you cannot trust. See, let me explain myself and clear up the point I'm trying to make. Don't want no busters around me, player hate nor acting fake. Don't ever be wanting nobody to get too close. I don't know if it's effects or from the marijuana that got me annoyed and tripping. See, nowadays a nigga be rolling thick with hella loot. But if my loot was gone, would I be all alone? See, my partners who used to ride with me and smoke that dank and fuck with hoes, would they be them same niggas if I didn't have shit to roll? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Who is to say what a nigga will do? Who is to say if you help someone, it's guaranteed that they'll help you? See what I'm saying? Listen to me and see if you can dig this. Smiling faces replaces friends when people receive ends. Now all of a sudden I'm acting funny cause my money's low. But there was no drama when I was living at my mama's home. But I'm not telling a nigga nothing you don't already know. Personal or business, you gotta watch who your friend is.
I'm thinking about hard times, freeing my mind. Who in the fuck gon' be my crutch? Holding me up, helping me out, making sure that I stay in touch. Where do I sleep? Who do I turn to when I be low on my cash? Who am I down with when 50 niggas be talking about kicking my ass? Who is my friend? Who is my foe? Who do I ask when I wanna know something about something when I don't know nothing? My ignorance keeping me out in the cold. Who do I call when I'm in need of a ride in somebody else's car? How do I get from point A to B? It's B, it's just too far. Where can I get alone? Where can I use the phone? Who's gonna give me the permission to make a decision to come up within their house to live? When will I drive a Beamer? Take my clothes to the cleaners? How can I know? Will I forever be paying my dues? Will I forever be singing the blues? Where will I find a shoulder when I be wanting to lean? Know what I mean? When I be needing some justification, stuck in the fucking same location. Who is the friend that's helping me? Who is the buster that's hurting me? Who can I trust? Will you be there when the going is tough? Will I be hanging with dick in the dust? Who's gonna share my load when it's too heavy to carry? Oh, will I go crazy pulling the load alone? Constantly getting my hustle on. When will I finally see, kind of suspect or even actually know? Who is my real friend sticking the thin and who in the fuck is the foe?
And that was our song of the day by 8-Ball MJG, Friend or Foe. Coming up now is our interview with Brother Marcus. Oh, my computer's acting up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Hold on just a second as I try to refresh this real quick so we can get Brother Marcus on the air. Brother Marcus, are you there?
I am here, sir.
And how are you doing today?
Brother, by God's grace, I'm holding on, trying to keep up my duty.
I hear you. You know, I have a phrase that I tell people all the time, and especially through these hard economic times, is that hey, I'm just trying to add 1 + 2 and get 4.
Yes, sir.
Because we all can get 1 + 2 = 3, but I'm trying to get one more. I'm trying to get one better than that. That's how bad it is.
Yes, sir. It's rough out here. You know,
yes, sir,
if they tell you. If they tell you it's hard out here for a pimp, you know what it's like for a brother trying to do right.
Yeah. You know it's bad out here when drug dealers are out here getting jobs. You know what I'm saying? When
that's
the crooked
right.
is going straight, you know something's going on.
That's for sure.
I want to thank you, man, you know, for actually requesting to be a guest on the show, to come out here and talk about what God is directing you to do, this book that you have coming out, this book that you have out, I should say, and, you know, actually, you know, choosing me to be one of the people that you wanted to present this book to the listeners and callers and fans and so forth. I want to thank you for, you know, coming on to the show.
Well, I'm honored to be here with you, my brother, and I'm very happy to greet your audience. I have nothing but the utmost love and respect for you, and I hope that the listening audience will be inspired to at least consider purchasing a book for the advancement of their sons and their nephews and, you know, the young men that are in their communities whose lives could be impacted by the book that I was blessed to write.
Now, go ahead. I want you to go ahead to, you know, plug the book, and this book, it's actually, like I said, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but the book is called The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. take a few minutes and, you know, tell everybody a little something about this book and when this book was, what inspired you to write this book? Let me ask you that first, I guess. Let me ask you that. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I think if I had to tell you what inspired me to write the book, it is based off of 15 years of working with our young men all over America. I've been blessed to do countless motivational seminars and training development for our young men. And when I reached a point with them where I found myself getting frustrated with them, because with each group of young men, you have to start over. You know, it's like after you finish working with one group of young men and you've given them 13, 14 weeks, then you meet a brand new set of young men with the same problems and same issues that the group that you just trained had. And so it's really an acknowledgement that you can't be everywhere at one time. So I penned this book to put together the very best that I would say as a motivational speaker and trainer to young people, knowing that I won't be able to get to them wherever they may be. But here is a book that after 15 years of working with our young people, this book says to you everything that I could possibly say to a young man who would come through one of my training seminars, who would come through a series of training seminars. This book is that. And I'm not taking any credit for any of the wisdom that's in this book. This book is giving to young people, I guess you could say, on behalf of their mothers, their uncles, their teachers, the principals, all of the academic folks that have been in this young man's life, all of his family that's been in his life, who really want him to succeed, who really want him to be a somebody in this world and not fail as so many hundreds of thousands of young men have done and are on their way to, if somebody don't come along and put the right words into their ears and into their hearts and into their minds. So this book is really a compilation of much of the wisdom that I share with these young people in my sessions, except now it's in book form, so this young man can have it, refer back to it when he comes into situations that he may not be ready for or may not know how to deal with. This book is a guide and a resource, and that's why I put on the front cover of it, this is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that our boys must know before they become men.
What would you say to, you know, what would you say to somebody young in the streets who you would probably walk, let's say you walked up to them and you know, you're like, look, you know, you give them an explanation of why they should turn their life around or why they should walk away from the situation that they're in currently right now on the streets, or if they just feel like they don't have to go to school. You know, your normal responses will be something like, hey, man, you know, I don't care about nothing what you're talking about. I'm going to get it how I live. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to grind. I'm going to hit the hell with school. School ain't important. It don't matter. I got to eat right now. Ain't nobody taking care of me. All I got is me out here. What would you say to a young man like that who has that type of mindset and that type of, you know, aggression against school and aggression against to do the right thing?
Well, there are no magic words for that kind of mindset, and unfortunately, we are up against that mindset in many of our young men today. I have found that it's not a one-time session kind of thing, but it's really when you get to talk with young men over and over repeatedly that they tend to break after about four or five sessions with them. They tend to start giving you some respect. They start understanding that you ain't there to take nothing from them, but you're actually there to give them something. You're there to give them something that they can't give themselves only because they won't read nothing. And so I have found that with these young men, when they are like that, when they're in that mindset, when they're in that thought that nobody cares about them,
the first thing I try to do is say, I don't care about you. I don't care one bit about you. It's not on me. I wasn't born to care about you. The only person that I care about is me. And you got to learn to care about yourself enough to do these things that I'm telling you to do for yourself. See, I've learned with this generation, if you try to come at them like you care and please listen to me and please let me teach you what I have to say, no, you got to act just like you don't give a doggone about them and you don't care whether they live or die. But I'm here to give you something, and if you accept it, take it, and if you don't, then get on with yourself. You understand what I'm saying? And then you find that they listen to you a lot better when they feel like you don't care. They love you when you don't care. They hate you when you care. And you got to know how to position yourself, and you got to be a person that almost has a background in some kind of acting skill, because this generation of young people is full of drama. These are Jerry's kids, brother. You know, before 20 years ago, if you used to say that those kids are Jerry's kids, you were talking about Jerry Lewis with the muscular dystrophy telethon. But when you say those are Jerry's kids today, you're talking about Jerry Springer. These children grew up, born into the world, watching people fight, watching people knuck and buck, watching us handle business as adults aggressively without any sense of just kind of, how do I say this? We didn't act intelligently all the time. I'm talking about us as adults and parents in this world. We wasn't on our A game when we produced this generation. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that when you come at young people with the drama, when you come at them with that swagger, and I give them back what they give me. If they don't care, I don't care. If they care a little bit, I care a little bit. That's what they buy into, and they got to believe that you're crazy. If they believe you crazy, then they'll listen to you. But if they think you're sane and you're rational and you're standing in front of them and you're saying, look, young people, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it, and let's go ahead and get started right now. If you sound like you a school teacher, if it sounds like you are one of those type of people who got yours and you're trying to just help this poor underprivileged person to get theirs, they ain't buying into it. You got to have that same mentality they got, and then that's how at least you got to make them think that you got that kind of mentality, and then you can evolve them, transform them to this next level that you want them to get to. But it don't start naturally. It don't start with you, you know, immediately being accepted. In fact, they're going to reject you straight out.
In your book, you talk about, you address these type of issues, because I believe the type of issues that we're speaking of right now is due to the fact that kids having kids, we went through that time era where it was kids were having kids at a rapid rate. And then, you know, kids were not feeling loved, and they didn't really have attention. So you got all different types of children. You got kids that were brought up in a house where their parents were rich or extremely wealthy. So to sustain that wealth, you have to work a lot. So what does that do? What sacrifices? The household sacrifices, the time with your kids sacrificing, them talks and that communication and the conversations, they lack because you're so busy all the time. So that's why when the rich kids get into so much trouble, they wonder, well, how can they get into trouble? They got the good life. Well, they got the good life because it wasn't the money. It's the fact that they didn't have that one-on-one with their parents. They didn't feel loved because their parents were too busy working. Then you have those middle-class kids where you do get a little bit of that time with them, but it's probably enough, but maybe not enough. Then you have those low-income kids who grow up in, you know, what they call the hood or, you know, trailer parks and so forth. You got them kids who pretty much are on their own. And those, I believe, with all that going on, that's why you have these types of kids and youth out here of today, because that's what you have out here from these households. It all starts at home. And do you address some of these types of issues and talk about these type of things in your book?
I sure do. I grew up in a hardcore inner city environment myself. Brownsville in Brooklyn, New York, was a horrible neighborhood. It was a neighborhood where you saw shootouts, you heard people get murdered, you know, people were robbed, the people stole and whatnot. So that's the kind of environment I grew up in, you know. So I didn't fall out of heaven. And when young men get a chance to hear that you didn't come from down from heaven to teach them something, but you came up from the same hell that they got to come up for, then they tend to respect you a lot better when they see some relationship between you and them, and that you ain't got no personal motivation in saying what you saying to this young man. So, yeah, we talk about all of that. I talk about what my life was like growing up with a mother and a father who made me hate myself, who did not know how to make me love myself because nobody ever taught them, and so they became our parents, and they didn't teach us how to love ourselves. And to this day, we are still trying to deal with that self-hatred that manifests from time to time in ourselves because of the way we grew up in our homes. So, yeah, all of that is something that young people may have to deal with, they may have to come up with, but the bottom line that I try to make this young person understand in my book is 5 or 10 years down the road, nobody's going to, you know, accept that as an excuse that you didn't make it, that you wasn't successful, that you couldn't get on and become somebody in life. You understand? See, we are past that point in this society. With the election of Barack Obama, here you come as a young man talking about how bad things were for you, and people are going to look at you like you're stupid. So what? You had it bad. I had it bad. Everybody had it bad. So what are you really saying? You know, that you couldn't make it. You wasn't successful. You're not where you want to be in your life. Nobody is going to even be sympathetic to an excuse in the coming years of our lives. We better learn, especially young men, especially young black men, that there will be no excuses accepted for you on why you couldn't be successful in the coming weeks, years, and months of your life.
Do you believe, and I'm enjoying this conversation here, but I want to make sure we do touch on your book a lot more during this conversation. But do you feel that we've gone too far down the drain? What I mean by we, like young men, because, I mean, right now, and I've said this on previous shows, we are leading every statistical thing that's negative. Drugs, murder, rape. We're starting to commit suicide at an enormous rate. We're leading everything down the board that is just negative. High school dropout, homosexuality, and the list goes on. Have we gone so far down the drain that we cannot be saved anymore? Not say that they're accepting Jesus Christ, I mean as far as saving our youth and saving our African-American men.
Well, you know, that seems like that is the sentiment that I meet everywhere I go. Many teachers have that sentiment. They teach for paychecks. They don't teach because they love the young people or that they see a future in them. They teach for the money. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them do. And they really have that attitude, and it permeates the educational institutions that are out here today. You know, you can't affect children until they know you love them. And that was something that we had back in the day a lot more of. We even had songs that bore witness to that kind of love in songs like I Believe the Children Are the Future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Well, that ain't being said or sung no more, because nobody really feels that towards this particular generation of young people. Look, my teacher taught me something very profound. He said to me, Marcus, this generation of young people is not hope. This generation of young people is fulfillment. I said, what do you mean, teacher? He said, Marcus, when a mother or father, they lay down together, they hope for a certain kind of child. They may even go so far in their hope that they start envisioning what the child will look like, what the child will act like. But then 9 months later, the child that they hope for comes into the world. And over time, they will find that the child may not end up looking like what they hope for, but the child is absolutely 100% positively fulfilling what they hope for. So what you hope for may not be what you end up, what fulfills your hope may not end up looking like that at all. My point is, with this particular generation, they are exactly what the time requires. They will fulfill that which they are born into this world to fulfill, and most people do not know how to engage this generation of young people. This generation of young people, they look like they don't care about nothing. They look totally crazy. But this is the generation we have longed for, and down the ancestry line of all of us collectively, we've prayed for a generation that would be able to stand up and be so strong like this particular generation is. This generation is not your father's Oldsmobile. They seem like they reject everything that you and I were taught to hold dear. We were taught to pull your pants up, young man. This generation says, I ain't pulling nothing up. In fact, I'm going to let my pants sag off my behind as far as I can. This generation doesn't believe in being courteous and nice to the elders. Nah, they cuss. They do everything that they're big enough to do. And what this generation really is for many adults is they are a mirror that we do not want to look at. See, they are the mirror of what we do every single day of our lives. What they do in open is what we do in private. What we do in private is what this generation will do openly. They do it. They do not believe in do as I say and not as I do. They believe that I will do exactly what I've seen you doing. And look, it's not just poor kids, people from underprivileged environments. They have the entire world taking on that swagger, that attitude. Many white parents can't do nothing with their children. Many black parents from well-to-do homes can't do anything with their children because of the spirit and the attitude that these young people are manifesting today. No, I don't give up on them. I believe in them. I love them so deeply that that's what drives me to do and to write this kind of book, because of the love that I have, and I want to reach as many of them as I can before my time is up on this earth.
And that's, you know, and I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm totally in a total agreement with you on all this, because the youth of today know nothing about, you know, when I was a kid, and that was just not too long ago, we did not spend our time sitting inside the house all day playing video games, listening to music, watching TV all day. No, we got outside. We created fun. You know, we created fun by just going out and just hanging out in the neighborhood and, you know, play Roger Bike. Place some football, anything. I don't know. Just thinking of things off your head. We didn't. Matter of fact, you had the best thing this generation doesn't have anymore. If they're out, going to happen to them. They're not outside because they want to be out there and just being adventurous and learning how to survive. Forth like that. They're not going home because they're tired of seeing the domestic abuse. They're tired of beating each other up, but they're tired of coming over every night. You know, they're tired of seeing the parents, the drugs and so forth. So these youth of today, they have no direction because there's no direction in their homes. And I don't necessarily blame the youth so much. I blame the parents. You know.
Well, Even blaming the parents, it doesn't quite hit the mark either, because we can stop at the parents but then not blame the society. Then we can stop at the society and not blame the government. Then we can stop at the government but not really put the blame where it belongs. This entire world is sick and crazy. There is no wonder that there are not more insane asylums. because you can't be sane in a world like this. The world that we live in is death itself. It's death to the family, death to the human spirit, because this world sentences everybody to death because of the way it was founded. I'm talking about the world that we live in today. I mean, you got education that you can get if you got money. If you got real money, you can get a real education. But if you ain't got real money, then you go to public school and you get what is a substitute for real education. The people who got the real money, and I mean, I'm here in Atlanta. They got public school for the poor kids, but for the students who got a whole lot of money, their parents got a lot of money, they get a different kind of education than the ones given in the public schools. And so public school today is about training you to fit into an environment where you will never become a master, you just become a slave, and you just are in debt your entire life, and your whole lifetime is wasted paying off debts for an education that you really couldn't use. And so that is part of why these young people reject it. See, parents got to be real careful about telling their children to get education. And here you are telling me to get education, and you got a master's degree. You might even have a PhD, but look what you're doing with your PhD. You don't even have a job. You mean you got a PhD, you went to college for 8 years after high school, and you still are begging somebody to make a job for you, to give you something, to give you an opportunity to do what you do? You mean they didn't teach you that after 8 years? And then here's another thing. Here's a young person who's being told by his mother, Jesus is the answer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The child been going to church for 25 years. He was poor when they started going to church. He's poor right now. In fact, they're even worse in this current environment. And then mama keeps saying Jesus, but I'm saying the child is saying, well, if Jesus is the answer, why are we so broke? Why we ain't got nothing? Why we don't have nothing? And see, this is what young people are in rebellion against. They're in rebellion against us trying to throw the same answers to them that somebody threw at us. They want something that's going to work, not something that's failing and on its way out. They want something new that's about change. That's what Barack Obama tapped into, this change that we all are looking forward to. Everybody wants change. And I'm telling you, the same old crap that worked in the past is not going to work with this generation.
No, it's not. This generation is really going to be – life all across the board is going to have to stand the test of time right now. Everything is at extreme high. The economy, the jobs, how families are treating each other. I mean, families are killing each other more so than strangers are killing. You know, you have the education system is failing because they're trying to take away Monday out of the five. People want you to believe in Jesus, and you should. They want you to go to church. They want you to fellowship. They want you to tithe. They want you to read the word. But when you wake up every morning and the reality that you see out your window is not reflective of what they want you to believe, it's hard to walk that way. And when you have the church just as crooked as the government, and it has to start somewhere. You know, we do these shows. We have great guests come on like yourself, and we come on and give the dialogue that is needed for these listeners and the fans out here. But the bottom line is, it has to start somewhere. These parents want to be friends to their kids instead of being a parent. They want to sit around and smoke weed with their kids. They want to sit around and drink with their kids. They want to sit around and cuss with their kids. They want to sit around and talk about sex, what the sexual encounter they did last night with their kids. They're not separating the two. Then you got people who spending so much time trying to be greedy, trying to earn the next dollar, that they're ignoring that the cries that their child is screaming out to them because they're not paying attention to them. You know, then you got people who actually never even wanted a child in their life, having kids, and then beating on them, telling them how ugly they is and how stupid they are and you this and you that. Confidence that the kid is trying to have.
Bro, brother. You're going in and out, and I'm trying to hear you, but it's coming like in spurts. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. My apologies to everybody. Going through some major, I have two major viruses on my computer right now, and I'm working on getting those off. So if I'm going in and out or if it's hard to hear me, I apologize. This is, you know, it's one of them things right now with my
computer. It is what it is.
Say it probably just got. According to your book, what is one of the most important chapters that you want people to know about? That you want people to know about that's in your book?
Well, the book is a very comprehensive guide for our young men. So all of the chapters are very relevant to the life of a young man. As I look at the book, I can't pinpoint one chapter. Let me just name the chapters for our listening audience. Chapter 1 is, what is your life going to be about? Chapter 2 is, on the road to manhood. Chapter 3 is called, who are you? And we have 3A. Chapter 3A is, who are you becoming spiritually? 3B, who are you becoming physically? 3C, who are you becoming emotionally? 3D, who are you becoming mentally? 3E, who are you becoming financially? 3F, who are you becoming socially? 3G, who are you becoming sexually? Chapter 4 of the book is called, Where Are You Going? Chapter 5 is, How Are You Going to Get There? And so all of the chapters are intertwined with each other because each level of development is, it takes into account all of the other things that you've got to know about and be aware of. See, I really encourage our young men to get this book because this book will take away all of your excuses. You will not be able to say that no one ever taught me anything if you read this book. I mean, this book, it will take you through Yes, I'm sorry.
Let me cut you off for a second and ask you this question because I'm gonna ask you a question that I know is very relevant to what you just said. You want young men to read this book to learn how to become a better young man, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna give you an objective that is gonna come out of these young dudes not knowing. A lot of these young men, especially African American men, are ignorant. Ignorant because they refuse to listen. They don't want to listen because they feel like they have all the answers. So you have a young kid who wants to read this book, and he's going to rebel against you. He's not going to want to read because half of us don't like to read anyway.
That's true.
They don't want to read if it ain't sports, if it ain't hip-hop, if it ain't something about guns or something. And I hate to say it, but that's true. They don't want to read about it. Okay? So with that being said, what would you say to encourage them to read this book, even though I know you don't like
it? Okay.
What would you say to this person get them in the mindset to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to get past my little selfish thinking right now, and I'm going to go ahead and get this book and see what he's talking about?
Well, I can only say to them what I have said to young men all over the country. If you keep on thinking what you've always thought, then you'll keep on getting what you've always got. You know, some men will come into your life, and what they say amounts to a bunch of gibberish. But there are some men who are going to come into your life who will talk, and their words are like prophecy to you. You know, it's like that song that Erica, I think it was Erica, no, it wasn't Erica Badu, that Sister Mae, Killing Me Softly, you know, the man was killing me softly with his words. You know, some people come into your life, and what they say actually is life itself. It's binding on you that you pay attention to what they say, especially when they're talking to you with a heart full of love, and in that love is mercy from you. It's a chance to get it right. But if you reject mercy, then whatever was going to come on you in your life will come, and it will come indeed. So I tell young people, be careful how you entertain a stranger, because you may be entertaining an angel, but you are unaware of it.
Well, where can they locate, and if they wanted to research you and about for you, your book, or give them your MySpace page, your website, all that, go ahead and get that information out for them, because I know we haven't done that really in this show today. We're doing a lot of lot of talking.
I thank you so much again, brother, for the opportunity to come on your show. Anyone desiring of contacting me can simply go to my website at www.marcusgerard.com. That's www.marcusgerard.com. I'm going to say that again. My website is www.marcusgerard.com. And then, of course, if anyone desired to reach me, to talk with me further about the book or securing me as a speaker to come in and work with their males and females, because I'm also in the process of working on a book exclusively for our young women, they can call this number, 404-542-3808. That's 404-542-3808. I really look forward to talking with you. And this is the same Brother Marcus that you're going to find when you call me. I'll be the same Brother Marcus, you know, because I'm trying to cut out the middleman. I don't want anybody between me and the people who I'm going to talk to. And I don't want anybody, trying to represent me. I think that I can do that better than anyone else, in terms of representing myself. And so anybody who wants to work with me, I welcome the opportunity to work with you. If you have a wayward son, a wayward daughter that's totally out of control, and you want to learn what you could do to bring your own wayward life as a parent back under control, because that's generally why these young people are wayward and out of control, is because we, the parents who had them, our lives are wayward and out of control. And so we produce children after our own make. You know, whatever we were at the time that we conceived these children, it's all in the genetic coding and makeup of the children. If we were wild and crazy, high and drunk, cracked out, smoked out, or whatever we were, then that's all a part of the makeup of that child. And that's why when you have 3, 4, 5 children, you notice that some of the ones that come at the latter end of your pregnancy days are a lot better than the ones who came on the first end, because you've calmed down a lot, you've matured a lot, and now you can see it in the children, you know?
Boy, you just said a bond before. You just said something right there, because I never thought of it. I never looked at it like that. Never. Not until you just now. Are you there?
Yeah, you lost me. You were saying something and I didn't hear it.
Okay. No, I say you just dropped a bombshell right there. I mean, what you just said, I never thought of it like that till you just said it.
Well, a lot of parents don't want to acknowledge that, and that's the problem. That's why this generation of young people, they see us as a bunch of hypocrites. The first thing they holler when you say go to church, they say, man, I ain't going to no church. Some people is a bunch of hypocrites. They say the pastor trying to lay hands on me, but he was in the club the other night with me. You understand what I'm saying? This is a generation that they can see everything.
Yeah.
This is a generation that don't miss nothing. So we might as well stop pointing, trying to pretend like we so holier than thou, and deal honestly with them. We'll be a lot more successful if we were just more honest with them and with each other.
Oh, yes, you are definitely right. And you know, I hope everybody who's listening to the show is actually taking something from it, because this brother has come on the show today and laid it all the way out there for you. You know, and it's up to everybody. I don't care what race you are. I don't care how much money you got and so forth. It's up to everybody as a collective whole to take back our households. I think once we take back our households and get our households in order, then what we send out to the world, which is our children, we would start getting those better results as we got in years past. You know, it's never been the perfect households, but when I grew up in Atlanta, everybody had both parents. And they didn't hesitate to whoop you. The people down the street didn't hesitate to chin check you if you were doing something wrong and your parents wasn't around. It's going to take everybody. But, you know, I think this day and age, man, it's just so – it's real bad, because it seems like nobody cares about nothing anymore. The back people have just gotten to an all-time low with themselves.
Well,
I don't know where it happened. I don't know what gust of wind blew past this whole earth, and it just changed one day. But it has really gotten bad out here, and I think people really do not have a value of life at all. People act like they just do not care about nothing.
Well, my teacher taught me, brother. He said, there is no such thing as a coincidence. If nobody cares about nothing, that's by design. That's by design. There is a dumbing down of the American population. It's written about it on websites and whatnot, the dumbing down of America. One of the great rappers, Professor Griff, said on a Public Enemy album when I was coming along, he said, ignorance is at an all-time high. When ignorance is at an all-time high, then you will see that people's caring about one another, people shooting one another, you're going to see all of that be at an all-time low. When ignorance is high, then people don't care. Ignorance is what's dominating people. And you said something very interesting. You said, take back our homes, you know. Well, how can we take it back if we don't know anything different than what we knew that can cause us to lose the home? See, if all I know is the same old thing, and it was because I did that thing, that's what made me lose my home, made me lose my family, then I need another kind of knowledge. And that's what we got to give to this young people.
But we, you know, it's so much of a challenge, and you know, we're gonna have to come back to this show on another day to really address some tough issues concerning our households, because we okay, this is an informational type of life now. It's information, any type of information you need, any kind of education that you need, you can go right to the internet, you can go right to the library. It's all out there now. Anything you ever wanted to know about is out there. So even though we do need to take back our homes and not create the same mistakes we have in the past, they just do not have the will or the want to learn anything different than what they already know. I think some people actually afraid to succeed in life because they actually think they're afraid that it's actually what is actually going to get better. Some people love that misery so much they don't even want to succeed in their households, in the community, or in life, period.
And that's very true, my brother, you know, and misery, of course, loves company, you know. But I do believe that there is a connection between information and what you do. See, I could have a library outside my door, but if I never go outside my door and go in the library and get any of the books, then what good was the information? You know, there's a story that I talk about in my book about a donkey that carried a bag of books on its back for 4 straight years, and then the donkey, he was climbing to get to the top of the mountain, and my Lord, that donkey got to the top of that mountain with that bag of books, but there was only one problem. He was still a donkey. So I raised the question, why was the donkey still a donkey after 4 years of carrying books on its back? And that's what our young people, the same question could be asked of them. Why don't you know anything, even though you've been in high school for 4 straight years with a book bag on your back? It's because if you never read the books, then you'll still be in the same condition at the end of 4 years. The donkey,
you know,
never read none of the books.
When I see these young kids out in my neighborhood, or, you know, just with me being out there on a day-to-day, these kids don't even, man, you couldn't come home when I was in school without no book in your hand. You couldn't come home without your notebook, without your homework. Now these kids are getting off these buses. PSPs in their hand. They ain't getting off. Man, I very rarely see kids get off the bus with their books or anything. These kids, I don't even know what they're doing in school these days, man, because when I see them get off the bus or even getting onto the bus, they ain't coming. They ain't getting off the bus with anything. So it lets me know that, you know, it once again, it's a breakdown. Organization. House has to have rules and guidelines. Disruption and anything else that can go wrong in the household. Dysfunction. And that's why these kids walk around, you know, pretty much taking care of themselves. That's what they're doing these days. They're taking care of themselves because they don't have the right type of people in their life to tell them and show them how they should be walking the right, proper way. My son, I don't play no games. I don't cut no corners with him. Either do with my daughter, she's the daddy's little girl, but I don't play no games with him. You're going to stand up straight. You're going to talk right. You're going to be polite.
Well, you know what you're saying, brother? You're saying that you, as a parent, want to parent your children, that you, in effect, don't want your children to be raised by this society, but you didn't bring them in the world for the society to raise them. You in fact, brought them in the world so you could parent them and raise them to be responsible. And, brother, you deserve a lot of credit for that. Now we've got to get a whole lot more parents to think like you think it and to see it the way you see it. All of us have to do this work. This is not a work that one person can do, that one organization can do, that one church can do, that one group can do. All of us collectively got to put our nose to this grind and get our people as a community, get this country back to values and thinking properly and trying to do what's right for the children. That's what's happening. So you said earlier something that I say everywhere I go. Many parents have had children and they had no idea that a child was coming. And that is such a problem because the children feel that sentiment every day, the sentiment of the parent. I had you. I wasn't expecting you. I didn't want you. I've had young people tell me that their parents told them to their face, I wish I would have flushed you down the toilet. I should have never had you. I mean, this is what children are being told by parents. So, you know, this is a hell of a world for a young person to be growing up in 2008. But yet, this world can be reached, and I believe with all my heart that it just requires you and I, us, the listeners, getting more knowledge, more information, more wisdom into our heads. If we truly know this Jesus figure that comes at the end of time, he says in Scripture, I come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Well, if we don't have life more abundantly, then we haven't met the Jesus that book is talking about. And I can tell you this, brother, that many people that we all say we're Christians, but look at the way we treat each other. Look at the example of Jesus Christ that we are putting in front of our children. Yet we walk around with the cross on our neck. We walk around saying Jesus. We have a Bible open to John 3:14 in our cars. But the life that we live is so far away from Jesus that if he were to come back today or tomorrow, who would he really accept? That's part of the problem right there. You're just misunderstanding religious hypocrisy. I mean, it's just the problem is just it's so comprehensive. It's no one talk gonna get through this. We gotta really put our nose to the grind to get on the problems of the people today.
We got a caller, area code 757. You live with Issues of the Day Talk Radio. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Miss T, what's up?
Nothing. I'm on the road and I just listened in, so you kind of have to catch me at the speed as to what the show is about. So, because I'm not at home, so you got to catch me up. But for right now, I'm listening in. So,
sad part is we only got 4 minutes left.
Oh,
and
fine.
With my computer being in the situation that it's in, I can't even extend the time out right now because my computer's acting up so bad. What I'm going to do is me and Brother Marcus is going to probably come back for another segment, and we're going to title it something else to continue on with this conversation. He's here for his book, and his book is called The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. Okay?
Oh.
Once you get back home to your computer tonight, everybody that's listening, you can go back to my page and you'll see his book cover on this segment. You can click on it, read about it, purchase it. You definitely go back and listen to the show if anybody's missed anything, because this is a book that I truly believe that, you know, every young person needs to have just by the conversation that me and this gentleman had for this past hour. So that's what's really going on right now. We're actually getting ready to close out, so let me finish up, Miss T. I appreciate you calling in, though, like always.
Okay, thank you. I'll check out the archives, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Brother Marcus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to send out an invitation to you now to, I'm about to figure out my schedule. It's going to be sometime next week that we can come back and we can attack the home. Now, I've done shows like this in the past where it was called How to Be a Better Black Man, Black Woman, and I touched on the household aspect of it. And I want to come back and tackle a lot of mistakes that us as parents make in our household, which sends our kids out into the world making the same mistakes. Excuse me. I've even made them. Sometimes I still make them because of the bad habits, you know, a creature of habit, so forth. So I try to correct the mistakes that I make. But next week, definitely want to want you to come back to the show, talk more about this book. I know we talked about it, but I want to talk about it some more and definitely have it coincide with the topic of what we're going to be talking about next week. But for those who just coming in to him, just came in late, this is Brother Marcus, my guest for the day on the show, and he's here. He's been here talking about his book called The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. Okay, you guys can go on to, like I said, go back to the page, pull up this segment. You can see his book cover, click on it, read about it, purchase it. Definitely go out there and get it. It's a must read. I want to thank Brother Marcus for coming on out to the show and hanging out with us and talking with us. Very interesting. I can't wait to come back next week and where we can have some more time to talk, because this is definitely one of my favorite topics to talk about. It's because it's the reason why a lot of things are the way they are. So real quick, brother, we got about a minute left. Take a minute just to go ahead and put your website back out there and your phone number, and then we're going to close out.
Brother, thank you again for the opportunity to be on your show. I am very grateful for the dialogue, and I, again, want to come back whenever you will have me and share some more information with your audience and learn from the audience as well. My website is www.marcusgirard.com. That's www.marcusgirard.com. Our contact numbers are simply 404-542-3808. That's 404-542-3808. Thank you again, my brother. May Almighty God bless and keep you and your family.
Same to you, brother. Thank you. And I'll be actually giving you a call right after the show is over.
Yes, sir.
All right. Finishing up here, everybody, I want to thank everybody for listening live to Issues of the Day Talk Radio. If you have any questions, comments, bad remarks, good remarks, you know, whatever, you know, email us at issuesoftoday@yahoo.com. Please go to my blogtalkradio.com/issuesoftoday and scroll down to the bottom. You will see two poll questions that I've been posting up there for the last 3 weeks. Not enough people have answered them. Please go down there and answer them. There's a purpose for me doing that. So please go to my page and answer those. Check out my YouTube videos that I have down there at the bottom of the page as well. Scroll over. When you look over to the right side of my page, we have links on there. Check out all those links. They're very interesting links for the Hype Magazine, the NAACP, everybody who I deal with. So I once again thank everybody. Stay tuned for us next week as we do another segment of Issues of the Day Talk Radio and another great show. Thank you, and God bless.